Henry Dreyer sits in his wheelchair in the middle of a room alone, hands together, hat backwards, hunched over, eyes down. He doesn't look up as his daughter comes in to greet him. When she asks if he recognizes her, he can only manage to mumble, "I don't know." Henry is one of nearly 6 million Americans living with Alzheimer's disease, and like so many others, it is slowly robbing him of the building blocks of his identity, his memories. Henry's story isn't really about tragedy or loss, though, in this instance. We get a clearer sense of Henry's story as his caretaker slips on a pair of headphones and his transformation begins. First, his eyes light up, his posture straightens in his chair. Then his feet begin to move, and he starts to sing along with the music. Immanuel Kant once referred to music as the quickening art, and before long, Henry's transformation is complete. The music has brought him to life. Henry, once alone, closed off, and silent, can now at this moment move, dance, sing, and speak. Music plugs Henry back into himself, to his past, and to the life he had before dementia began cutting up the reels of his memory. Music gives me the feeling of love, romance. I figure right now the world needs to come into music, singing. You've got beautiful music here. I feel the band of love, of dreams, says Henry. If Henry sounds familiar, you may be one of the nearly 3 million people who have watched his viral clip from the documentary Alive Inside on YouTube. What may appear on the surface to be isolation and hopelessness expands to his life waiting to be invigorated by music. His ability to awaken those with dementia formed part of the work created by Robert Cohen and Herschel Garfine, their inspiration in writing Alzheimer's Stories, a multi-movement piece for chorus, soloists, and chamber orchestra. In 2008, a member of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, who asked to remain anonymous, made a donation to the chorale to help fund the commissioning of a musical work on the subject of Alzheimer's disease to honor his parents, who had both died of it. In collaboration with 2012 Grammy Award-winning librettist Herschel Garfine, who created the libretto for Elmer Gantry, a blog was set up on the choir's website to record stories by chorus members and the local community, describing experiences with relatives and friends who had Alzheimer's disease, with a selected group of those stories becoming the basis for the work. The first movement, which Garfine describes as an epidemiological view of the disease, interweaves facts and figures. Transcripts of Dr. Alois Alzheimer's first interview with Auguste Deter and original material. Deter would later become the first person ever diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease, displaying symptoms of what we would now call early onset Alzheimer's. She died at 56 years old, unable to remember the names of her husband and children. In that interview, Dr. Alzheimer asked for her name, her husband's name, her address, and her age, each time receiving the same reply. Auguste, I think. As she struggles to write her own name, she repeatedly mutters, "Ich habe mich verloren." I have lost myself. While the numbers could present the condition at a distance, for so many people living with the disease, the experience is immediate and deeply personal. Ich habe mich verloren. Rather than pretending to take on the pain of the disease, Garfine came to Cohen with another piece of the puzzle. They started a blog and asked, as we heard, chorale members with their friends and relatives to write about their own experience. They could never have been prepared for the response. Over 80 stories, each unique, powerful, and harrowing. Their stories form the second movement. As they combed through the blog entries, Garfine had an eye for what he was looking for. I try to find what I think of as everyday poetry. Garfine said, when people, without trying to be poetic, simply express themselves in such a beautiful way that it ends up being a kind of inadvertent poetry. Whether you've experienced the disease firsthand or not, the beauty of the second movement lives in your ability to see bits of yourself, your family, and your life in every story. Both Cohen and Garfine have written for Broadway, and their knack for naked honesty and emotion shines through as the chorus and soloists draw us into each vignette. Each of the stories has layers of meaning and experience, and they become deeply personal, for they are deeply personal, and they are individual, and yet at the same time, universal. One of the chorus members remembered visiting her father in the hospital regularly after he could no longer live alone. She would look up songs from his childhood, learn them, and sing for him in the hospital room. Each time she sang, she saw his face light up and a flicker of remembrance wash over his face. One day she visited without a new song. She felt a little self-conscious and didn't really know what to sing. Her father looked up at her, pleading, "Sing anything," he said. "Just sing anything." The night they rediscovered her story, Garfine wrote the libretto of the entire third movement. He delivered it to Cohen the next morning, and after reading it, he cried for 3 days straight. They had found the ending. The third movement contains a quatrain, and every person approached regarding the work seems to mention the final movement titled For the Caregivers. The text reads, "Find those you love in the dark and light. Help them through the days and the nights. Keep faith. They sense what they cannot show. Love and music are the last things to go. Sing anything." That from Cody Wallace, writing in Choral Journal, October 2018. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale will present Alzheimer's Stories 15 years after its premiere this weekend, Saturday, March 8th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, March 9th at 3 at Stratansky Hall at Susquehanna University in Seelands Grove. We had a chance to speak by phone with Dr. William Payne in advance of the performance, and we asked about the chorale and how the project came to be.
The Susquehanna Valley Chorale has been in existence for many, many years, and I came on board in 1996. And so I've been with the chorale as of 2026. I will have been with the chorale, of course, for 30 years. And Cy Stratansky conducted it. He was at Susquehanna University for a number of years as professor of music and choral conductor. So I took his position when he retired. So it's a very long amazing, wonderful tradition of making music in the Susquehanna Valley. And up to the point of this program, which we're talking about, we had not commissioned a work. And so it was interesting that back in 2008, there was a donor who came forward, a member of the chorale, and he wanted to help fund the commissioning of a musical work about Alzheimer's disease. And he wanted to do this to honor his parents. And so I did some research and looked up various composers that might say yes to this kind of programming. And I found Robert Cullen, who's kind of a crossover between theater, writing for theater, and writing legitimate classical genre music. And so I contacted Robert and asked him if the president of my board could come and see him. We had something to talk to him about. And long story short, we went to visit him in New Jersey, at his home in New Jersey, and I broached the subject of Alzheimer's stories. He just looked at me aghast, and he said, "Are you sure you don't want me to compose a mass? Wouldn't that be a whole lot easier?" And we said, "No, definitely this is something that we would really like." And he thought about it for a little bit and talked with his friend Herschel Garfein, who is, of course, an amazing librettist, and they decided that they would tackle it. And I'm so glad they did, and they are so glad they did, because it has become a work that's been performed all over the United States and in Europe.
We know what so often happens with newly commissioned works. They get a performance here, a performance there, and maybe that's it. So it really must be a fine work and a work that touches people in a deep way. When you learned it was a go, then how much interaction did you all have with them?
Oh, gosh, a lot. Bob Cohen would send me manuscripts, and he would send recordings of what he had. You know, obviously, it was just a synthesized version. But I remember sitting in my office when I was teaching at Bucknell and listening to some of these and thinking, oh, my gosh, I was practically in tears just listening to the synthesized version. And the collaboration between Bob and Herschel was pretty amazing. Herschel came upon the idea of having our chorale members and friends of the chorale give firsthand accounts of the disease. So he said, "Why don't you start a blog and everybody can contribute?" And the members of the chorale and the community of friends submitted these personal narratives. And it was all submitted to this website concerning their experiences about those that they love and who had suffered through Alzheimer's. And so Herschel, in his own way, was able to take these stories that everybody contributed and put them into this work. And he obviously couldn't use everybody's, but he appreciated so much all of the comments that he got about this disease. It was pretty amazing.
We certainly have a sense, don't we, and it's very important in this piece, that even after the Alzheimer's patient doesn't know the daughter or the son or the husband or doesn't remember where he or she is, there is that sense of being able to reach them through music.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Herschel was very struck at one point by the comment by one of my choristers, talking about their experience, and that the person about whom they were speaking said to them, "Love and music are the last things to go." So they took those words, and Bob set those beautiful words to music for the last movement. And it's incredible. I have no other words. It's just, you have to witness it in the audience and be an observer to listen to these words being sung in such a beautiful way.
And Bill, what was the reaction in the region to this work?
Oh my gosh, there was so much involvement in the community about this concert and about this premiere. And as you know, we premiered it on October 9th in 2009. I remember that date at the Weiss Center for the Performing Arts at Bucknell. And it was recorded for broadcast by WVIA, and they brought in many cameras, and subsequently this was viewed, of course, by hundreds of people, and ultimately now has been performed throughout the U.S. and Europe over the last 15 years. So it has made quite an impact. And I remember there was a committee that was formed for this commission, for this premiere, and the committee decided to have purple bows made, and people could purchase them for a very nominal fee and put them up in their yards, on their mailboxes, in on their doors, whatever. And so the Lewisburg area of the Susquehanna Valley was covered with purple bows. And people would say, what is this all about? And of course, then the word got out. So it was a very exciting time to do this. And you know what's so wonderful about this concert this coming weekend is that both Bob Cohen and Herschel Garfein are coming here with their wives for the weekend, and they're going to come to both of our performances. And our very good friend of SBC and former WVIA personality, Fiona Powell, is going to host a brief interview on stage with both of them before the performance of Alzheimer's Stories. And that will happen in the second half of the program. So this weekend is also a celebration for us, bringing it back 15 years later.
And why was it? What prompted you to say it's time now, Bill?
Well, a couple of things. Of course, I think you know that I'm retiring in 2026 as music director. And this commission had a real impact on me and on the SVC, the Susquehanna Valley Chorale, and its instrumentalists. And it's had such an impact on the world and where we are with this disease. I think we're close to a cure, hopefully, but people still need reassurance and hope that that will happen. And this music has touched me and has been one of the performances that I will always remember with my 30 years with the chorale. So I felt it really important to bring it back.
Bill, you're always so sensitive to partnerships in the community. That would surely be the case this time.
Yeah, we are very thrilled that Holly Kyle, we're welcoming her as the local Alzheimer's and dementia care representative as our MC for this event. And she represents, of course, the Union Snyder Agency on Aging. And they're going to have a booth there in the lobby and everything. And then another collaborator is Journey to Justice. And you may have heard about this. Lynn Fiedler is the founder of this movement. And it was started because of the horrific elder abuse that happened here in 2023 at one of our facilities, unfortunately. And so that is an organization, of course, facilitating the protection of older adults who lack capacity to protect themselves. And so they're going to be there with a booth as well. So we just are thrilled that both of those organizations are going to collaborate with us.
Of course, this piece is unique, Bill. We know that. But does it have a certain sound? Does it have a certain style that we might recognize in some way?
I think it needs to be compared with all of our 21st century, 20th century composers who believed in melody and believed that that alone can touch your heart. Bob Cohen is a melodist. He takes these incredible, beautiful phrases and of course, was offered these texts by our chorale members that Herschel then gave him and intertwined them. So, you know, this is a collaboration. And I don't know how many choral writers can say how important it is to have that collaboration with the poetry. And, you know, I wrote a work 3 years ago called Love, and I totally relied on these poets. And I even asked various poets that I knew to write something for it. And so I can't think of any other composer. No one comes to my mind right now, but I know that there are a number of writers. And look at Rodgers and Hammerstein. I mean, we're singing You'll Never Walk Alone to end the first half. I mean, this is the most incredible piece about hope, but they were a collaboration. So if there's anything to be said about this work musically, I think it's that collaboration that must take place between the librettist and the composer.
I'm sure that Fiona and Robert and Herschel will be talking about it, but the question of how do you leave listeners in the audience with hope musically and with lyrics and the combination, it would be so tricky with something like this. You seem to indicate that that phrase, love and music remaining, that that is a very, very hopeful and beautiful closing.
Exactly. And here again, I said, you know, Bob, when he first heard me ask about doing a work about Alzheimer's, kind of wanted to run the other direction because, you know, it's mind-boggling to think how you would put that together. But as it accumulated with all of the recollection of the chorus members and what have you, it really was something that Bob said, this is his piece, his signature piece now. And one thing that we hear at the end is that one of the patients was asked, what do you take from this disease before they were at a point where they couldn't think about anything? And the patient replied, you know, song and singing is the most important thing. I don't care what you sing, but I want to hear song because I can remember those words. It's quite a statement. So, yeah, pretty amazing.
Are there soloists in the piece?
Yes. I'm happy to talk about them briefly as well. I'm very thrilled that our baritone soloist that came to sing the premiere is coming back, and that's our good friend Ted Keegan, who I think a lot of people probably would recognize him as one who spent many years playing the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera. And Ruth and I went to one of his Broadway performances and, of course, were blown away. And this was after we got to know Ted and after he had sung Alzheimer's stories for us. So we had that opportunity. But he will come back and he's just delighted. And Ted had an aunt who died of Alzheimer's, but he also told me that his high school accompanist was like a father to him and died of Alzheimer's. So this has special meaning, of course, to Ted. Amanda Stanpe is my mezzo-soprano. She serves the music faculty at Susquehanna University as assistant professor of voice. And she's a native of Pittsburgh. And we heard her for the first time when she did our Messiah performance a couple of years ago. And I was blown away with her exquisite sound. And here again, you know, here is a woman who has also been affected by Alzheimer's. She had an aunt through marriage who died, and members of her family participated in the walk to end Alzheimer's in Lancaster this past fall in her aunt's honor. So here again, the disease affects all of us. And finally, the soprano who is going to sing the solo part in You'll Never Walk Alone at the end of the first half is Alyssa Bronco, and she is a voice teacher here in Mifflinburg, and her grandmother died of Alzheimer's, and her family is one of our co-sponsors, so they've been a very supportive family. And so the whole thing embraces the fact that we're all in this, and this is a concert that really shows the power of the combination of music and words, most certainly.
William Payne, longtime music director and conductor of the Susquehanna Valley Chorale. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale will present Alzheimer's Stories, a monument to memory, this Saturday, March 8th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, March 9th at 3 p.m. at Stratansky Hall at Susquehanna University in Sealands Grove. The composer, Robert Cohen, and the lyricist, Herschel Garfein, will be on hand for each of the performances. And at the beginning of the second half of the performances, WVIA's former producer, Fiona Powell, will interview Cohen and Garfein about their experience writing the songs and lyrics. The recording we're hearing was made by WVIA-TV when the piece was premiered 15 years ago. It was presented at the Wise Center for the Performing Arts on October 9th, 2009, and WVIA-TV was there. We have a website for you, That's svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale will present Alzheimer's Stories, A Monument to Memory, this Saturday, March 8th at 7:30 p.m. and again Sunday, March 9th at 3 p.m. at Stratansky Hall at Susquehanna University in Sealands Grove. Will be under the direction of Dr. William Payne, and he introduced us to the soloists who will be on hand. Again, for more information on the web, svcmusic.org, svcmusic.org. The Susquehanna Valley Chorale and Orchestra, under the direction of William Payne, in the premier performance of Alzheimer's Stories, A Monument to Memory, created by composer Robert S. Cohen and lyricist Herschel Garfine. The recording took place at the Wise Center for the Performing Arts at Bucknell University in Lewisburg on October 9th, 2009, and the Susquehanna Valley Chorale is revisiting this remarkable work that has been performed over 50 times across the United States since then and in Europe. And you can see and attend the concerts Saturday, March 8th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, March 9th at 3 in Stratansky Hall at Susquehanna University in Sealands Grove. For more information, svcmusic.org.